Today's shiur in Masechta Bava Daf Mem Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis. The Torah Kedoshah says, V'chi Yinotzu Anoshim. If men will be battling, V'nok V'isha Hara, and they strike a pregnant woman, V'yotzu L'yodeha, and she'll miscarry, V'lo Yiyasar, and no one dies, Onish Yonish, they shall be punished, Kashi Yoshas Allah Baal Isha, V'nosim B'flilim. So the Torah Kedosh is teaching us that if somebody intended to hit someone else, and instead of hitting that individual, he hit the woman unintentionally, the halacha we discussed now, what will be the halacha of what must be paid and how that assessment is made. The Malach HaShleim explains the placing of this Mishnah, because in our previous Mishnayos we've been discussing that if somebody brings his animal into somebody else's property without permission, and that animal now injures the animal of the owner of that property. So now our Mishnah comes to teach us not only in a case where someone's animal intended to hit someone else's animal, Rishus Rabbim, the halacha is that you will be responsible, V'yotzu L'deha, as we just quoted the Pasuk, you'll be responsible for the value of those children. But the Mishnah is teaching us that even this should occur in the property of somebody else, and some one animal intended to hit another animal, and instead of hitting another animal, the hit the wife and of the owner of that property, the Gemara teaches us what the halacha will be on such a situation. Demas Liyakov explains that the purpose of our Mishnah, which is often the case in our Masechta, is to differentiate between the obligations when one's animal does damage versus when the person himself does damages. And we're going to be discussing here what is the halacha for damages that were done by, what is the damage, obviously, what is the damages, what are the obligation of the damages in such situations. So says the Mishnah, again, Shoyrei, Shoyim Eskam L'Chaveri, one animal was trying to hit another animal, Vihika Eseisha, and instead of hitting the other animal, he hit a woman, and V'yotzu L'deha, because of this, she miscarried. Potter Dvei V'lodus. He would not have to pay for the Mei V'lodus. Of course, the Gemara will explain why. However, Adam Shem Eskavin Eschaver L'Haveri, a person had intention to hit somebody else, and instead of hitting that individual, V'hiko Eseisha, he hit the woman, and V'yotzu L'deha, and her children, and she miscarried. Then the Aloch is Meshalem, the Mei V'lodus. The Sefer Ilkutei Chava Ben Chaim tries to understand what is the purpose of the Mishnah giving us this lengthy example. Isn't this exactly what the Torah Kedosha says? And what is behind the question of the Ilkutei Chava Ben Chaim is that Mishnayos aren't here to just repeat what is said explicitly in the Torah. So he says that the Mishnah is coming to teach us what Rav Shimon teaches us in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, that the Mishnah teaches there that if somebody intends to kill one person and he unintentionally kills someone else, that the halach is he's not put to death because it wasn't intentional to kill the person whom he killed, but he's chayiv mamon. What would he pay? He would pay the Mei V'lodus. In other words, Rav Shimon says that if someone intended to kill another person, and instead of killing that other person, he killed a woman who was walking by, and the woman miscarried, since he did not intend to kill that woman, he will not be chayiv misa for killing the woman. But if, on the other hand, he did intend to kill a pregnant woman, and she miscarried, the halacha is that you don't play for those children. We say kimle b'derabim nei, And that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us, when we will say Kimle B'Drabanei, when we should not say Kimle D'Rabbanei. Mishnah saying also that if a person intended to kill, to hit one person, he hit the woman, he's still chayiv, and explain the achroinim. The reason is, concept that we've discussed often in our shiurim, the basis is because adam mu'ud lo'olam, and the person is going to be held responsible under all circumstances, says the Gemara. Ketzad, so we just discussed that you paid in the May Velodis. So ask the Gemara, how are the May Velodis assessed? Ketzad Misham de May Velodis, how are the value of these children assessed? Says the Mishnah, Shaman Isha, we evaluate this woman, Kamihi Yofa Achela Yolda, how much she was worth, but she was still pregnant. Presumably, a woman who's pregnant is more valuable to be sold as a slave. V'kamei yofa mishyolda, and how much she is worth now when she's no longer pregnant, her value dropped. And that difference is what, and that difference is paid. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Im came, so. And the Gemara, of course, will explain. Rav Shimon Gamliel explains. It says, "Mishiishi yaledus mishabeches." I can make an argument that a woman, after she has the baby, actually goes up in value. El shamnas avlodus. We assess the children. Kamhen yofin. How much those children? A woman who's carrying children. How much the children she's carrying are worth? So Rashi explains that the Mishnah is teaching us how we make this assessment. We don't evaluate them independently, according to the Tanakhama, certainly, but we evaluate how much the value of the children, of the woman, went up because she is pregnant. And the Prisha explains, if, and we'll learn this in the Gemara more, the children, yes, have a value, because a woman who's pregnant has a value, but we don't want to evaluate the children independently, because that will be too much on the mazik, and moreover, we can't be sure if the children will even make it. And therefore, says Rashi and the Prisha, that the Mishnah means to say is that this is the best way, according to the Tanakhama, to make this evaluation. Says the Mishnah further, this the May Velodis that we are discussing, says the Mishnah, Noisen Labal, the husband is entitled to this payment. Noisen Labal, the husband is entitled to this payment, because the pasuk says, Onish ya Onish, Kashi Yashis Labal Isha, V'Nosen Beflilim. Ein Labal, let's say this woman has no husband, Noisen Liyarshav. This payment, his yarshim are entitled to receive this payment. If there was a woman who was a shivcha kananis that was freed, and she was pregnant from a evit kanani, or who's obviously not considered a full-fledged Jew, or she was a geyrus who was a ger, and she became pregnant from this ger, and at that time, when this episode took place, the ger was no longer alive. And not only was the ger no longer alive, the ger had no yarshim. And as all the mefarshim explained, every Jew could potentially have yarshim. Hopefully it'll be children. If it's not children, it'll be brothers. But everybody who's born as a Jew has a relative. A ger, because we know what halacha is, gershin is gayer kekatan shenay ladami. So a ger that is megayer is considered as if he has no relatives. So since it's considered as if he has no relatives, so at that point the halacha is that if he dies without having children or relatives, then there's no one to collect the May Vladis. And under such circumstances, Potter, the person who did this terrible thing, will not have any obligation to pay. The Mefarshim point out, the Meshech Chachma points out, that we find two places in the Torah where the Torah used the word Einish regarding v'chi, when somebody did something inappropriate. The Torah says v'chi yinotzu anashim, the pasuk that we're discussing in our shir, v'chi yinotzu anashim v'nakv isha hara v'yotzi ladea v'loya asan anish anish. And then the Torah uses the word Einish by the parasha Mitzi Shemra. The pasuk says that somebody, Chas v'Shalom, is Mitzi Shemra. He says, Le'matzasi, I didn't find Le'bitcha Psulim, that your daughter should be a Psula, which she was supposed to be, according to the terms of the marriage. Says the Torah, V'anshu Aysay Me'e Kesef, V'nasnu Avi Anara Ki Haitzi Shemra. So the question, of course, asks the Meshech Chachma, why did the Torah choose to use the word Einish specifically in these two places? So says the Meshech Chachma, what's special about these situations is that usually a person is not chayiv malchus and mammon. You only give one of them, because we always say kim lebe d'rabbanei. However, the Torah Kedoshim, when it speaks about a mitzvah shemra, says v'yisro isoi, and the definition of v'yisro isoi is that he gets malchus. And the Torah also says that he has to pay the fine of Meir Kesef. Similarly, when we speak about the case that we're discussing in our shir, Rambam says that Niskavan Lahara Gazeh, Vahara Gazeh, somebody intended to kill one person, he killed another person, even though Bezdin will not give Mises Bezdin under those circumstances, he'll be Chai Mises B'dei Shemayim. But the Demei Velodis, the halacha is that he'll pay. So the Torah uses the word Einish in these two cases to teach us that these are exception to the rule of Kimlei Midrabbanei. Says the Gemara. We begin the Gemara. Mishnah began speaking about that a shor had intention to kill a person and he instead hit the woman. The halacha is that he doesn't have to pay Mlei Vladis. So says the Gemara, if we look at the Mishnah, what was the case of the Mishnah? Tam adam skamul chaveri, because he intended to hit a different animal, and somehow or another he hit the woman. That's why he doesn't have to pay dmei velodus. Ha miskaven liisha, but had he intended to go after this woman, misham dmei velodus, then he would have to pay dmei velodus. Ask the Gemara, lemet have to yufta dravada barahava. This seems to be a refutation of the opinion of Adar Barahava. Damar of Adar Barahava, Shvarim Shneskavnu Isha, if animals intended to hit a woman and she miscarried, Pturim Medmei Vladus, they don't have to pay Medmei Vladus. Answers the Gemara, Amlach of Adar Barahava, that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Hu Adin Afil Neskavnu Liisha, even if the animal had intended to attack this woman, Nami Pturim Medmei Vladus, they would not have to pay for the miscarriage. So if that's the case, why did the Mishnah not tell us the bigger chiddush? V'hadu tani shorshe miskamel chaveri, says the Gemara, because of the din that we're going to learn in the Sefer. I did the Kabbalah miss the Sefer, because we're going to learn in the Sefer the Mishnah, where other she miskaven lechaveri, where a person intended to hit another person and instead attack the woman. That's what the Torah says, you pay the mevil others. The Hachik Siv Kra, that is the Pasuk, that's what the Torah speaks about, as we read the Pasuk at the beginning of our Shir. So therefore, Ketani Reishon Nami, Shoshim Miskaven L'Chaveroi, even though the same halacha would have been if it was not Miskaven L'Chaveroi. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, even though, as we've been discussing, that if an animal hits the woman, we just learned, you don't pay the Mei Velodis, but if an animal attacked a shivcha kananis who was pregnant, and she miscarried, mishalim the mevelodis, then you'll have to pay the mevelodis. Ask the Gemara, why would a shivcha be different from a different woman, my tama, answers the Gemara, because when somebody, when the animal attacks a woman who's pregnant, chamrita ma'abta ba'almadu azik, it's no different than attacking an animal. Damakra, why is that considered the same? Says the Gemara, because the Torah Kedosha says, Yak Avram Avinu, when he went to the Akedah with Yitzchak, he said to Yishmael and to Eliezer, Shvulachem, that they should stay back. And he said to them, Shvulachem Poyachamor, remain here with the donkey. And from here we see that it's considered Am Hadoim Lechamor. They're similar to the donkey. And as the Ein Yaakov explains, what is the way the Gemara, the way to understand the Gemara, this drasha is, why did the Torah have to tell, why did Yaakov Avram Avinu have to say Im Chamor? Why was it necessary to say stay with the donkey? He should have said stay over here. The fact that he said that Im Chamor, that's a proof that what the Torah says, Am Hadoim Lechamor. And I saw that the Malbim explains what happened was that Avram Avinu was coming towards Har Moriah, where the Akedah took place, and they saw a cloud over their mountain. And he asked Yitzchak, what do you see? He saw, and Yitzchak saw what he saw. He saw the same what Avram Avinu saw. But when he asked Eliezer and Yishmael, what do you see? They say, we saw nothing. So that was a proof to Avram Avinu that there's a difference. And they are considered, in Avram Avinu's mind, Am Hadoim Chamor. So the Rosh asks a question. We could understand that Eliezer was compared to Chamor because Eliezer was a Kenani. And we find in the Torah that Avram Avinu was concerned about the Kenanim. But why did he call Yishmael, his son, Am Hadoim Lechamor? Yishmael was the son of Avram Avinu. But, says the Rosh, based on the Medrash that we just quoted, it's quite understandable. Because what Avram Avinu was saying, because you can't see, you Eliezer and Yishmael cannot see what my son Yitzchak saw, that's why it's considered Am Hadoim Lechamor. The Beis Halevi, in explaining this Gemara, says that if somebody has a Jew, if a Jew marries a Shivcha, the child is not considered a Jewish child, as we just learned quite extensively when we learned Masechta Kedushin. So, explains the Beis Halevi, that Yishmael was not considered Avram Avinu's son, because since Yishmael was the son of Hagar, and if he was the son of Hagar, so he's not considered a Jewish child. But, explains the Beis Halevi, if that was the case, what happened over here was, we know that Avram Avinu was taking his son Yitzchak to Akedah. And at that point, certainly, he was sure that he's going to kill his son Yitzchak. And who will be left as his only child? Yishmael will be only left as his only child. So if he could console himself that Yishmael will be the child that he's left with, but at least Yishmael is a Jewish child, it would be somewhat of consolation. But now that he saw that, and that's why he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka taught the halacha of Am Hadoim Lechamor at this time, to make the Nisayon on Avram Avinu even greater. And by identifying Yishmael as Am Hadoim Lechamor, which would be much more of a situation that Avram Avinu was left with nothing, still Avram Avinu was ready to do what he was supposed to do. The Imre Emes says, Pshat, that when we speak about a person like Avram Avinu, even at a time where he was undergoing such a terrible Nisayon, he remained strong with his Yerushalayim. And he says that that's what makes a Jewish person special. What makes Klal Yisrael special is that we are ready to be Maisa Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there was no time, presumably, in the life of Avraham Avinu that he was ready to undergo a nisayon like these moments. And even though Avraham Avinu was prepared to undergo this nisayon, he remained with his level of Yerushalayim. And that's why at this point he was taught that Yishmael Eliezer don't have that level. Yishmael and Eliezer don't represent a level of Yerushalayim that they're ready to do whatever it takes al Kiddush Hashem. That's why Avraham Avinu was told, Am Hadoim L'chamor. They are very fundamentally different than we are. We have this concept of Mesiris Nefesh for Yerushalayim. They do not. So we learned in the Mishnah, Ketzim Shalom Dmei Velodis. How do we assess the Dmei Velodis? Says the Gemara, why does the, if we say that the way, Tanakhama certainly said, the way we make this assessment is by looking at the woman, how much she's worth when she's pregnant versus how much she's worth when she's not pregnant. So ask the Gemara, the wording of the Mishnah is difficult. The Mei Velodis, Shmach Velodis, the woman, it goes up in value, and that's what should be assessed. Answers the Gemara, Hochi Nami Kamar. That's exactly what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. Ketzim Misham, the Mei Velodis, the Shvach Velodis. We have two payments. We have the Demei Velodis and the Shmach Velodis. Shamas Isha Kami Yofa, how much the woman is worth before she as pregnant. Achla Yolda, Kami Yofa Mishi Yolda. And that gives us the full picture of what we should pay. But we learned in the Mishnah, Aram Shimon Gamaliel, Imkain, Mishi Isha Yoledis, Mishi Beches. Woman who has a baby actually goes up in value. Ask the Gemara, my comment, what Rav Shimon Gamaliel meant to say? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hachi Kamar. This is what the Mishnah meant to teach us. V'chi Ishi Meshabeches, this is what Rav Shimon meant to teach us. Shimon Gamaliel, V'chi Ishi Meshabeches, Kodim Shetel Yosem Lach Shetelin. How could you assume that a woman is more valuable before she had the baby versus after she had the baby? Because he says the woman is less valuable as pregnant, as we're going to learn, because there's always, unfortunately, the chance of a miscarriage. And therefore, he says, Shamanas of Lodus, we assess the value of these children by themselves. El Shamas of Lodus, and that Nois Labal, the husband is entitled to. And says the Gemara, Tanya Namihachi, this is actually Tanya Namihachi, this is what we learned in a Braisa. Omar, V'chishim Shabech's Kodim Shalai L'yach Ma'ach Shtaylid, can we suggest that a woman is more valuable after she had the baby versus before she had the baby? El Shamnas Avlodis, we assess the value of these children by themselves, and that Nois Labal, we give to the husband. Rav Amar, Rava says, this is how to understand the machloikus between Rav Shimon Gamaliel and Tanna Kamma. V'chi ish l'misha ledes mishabachas. The Torah, we learned in our Mishnah, we're going to be learning in our Shir, that the value that the woman goes up is given, that this, the Mei Velodis, is strictly given to the husband. So the question is, why does the woman, ein la'atzma v'shvach velodis klum, the fact that the woman became more valuable, shouldn't that be taken into consideration? Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamaliel says, Shaman de Mevelodis, we assess the value of these children, and that value, Nois Labal, we give to the husband. And then there's another assessment, and that's the Shvach HaVelodis, that the woman became more valuable, and that assessment, we divide. We give half to the husband and half to the woman. So in other words, what Rav Shimon Gamaliel is teaching us is that there are two payments. There's a payment for Shlach Velodis and there's a payment for the Mei Velodis. The Mei Velodis are given completely to the husband. And Shvach Velodis are divided between the husband and the wife. It says the Gemara Tanya Namihachi, the Braisa supports this understanding of the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamaliel. Amram Shimon Gamliel, v'chi shlamish ledes mishabeches, does the woman become more valuable just to the husband? V'ein la'atzma b'shvach v'ledes klum, and she's not entitled to anything from that? Ela, shaman nezek, we evaluate how much the woman's value goes down. Shaman nezek b'fnei atzmai, and that we've assessed independently. Tzar b'fnei atzma, the pain that the woman went down. V'shaman tzavlodus, and we then assess the value of these children, and that is given to the husband alone. And the shvach v'lodus, and the value that the woman went up because she's pregnant, chalken, we divide between the husband and the wife. So Rashi explains that the nezek that the woman suffered, we how that we evaluate independently. So Rashi says, how do we divide that payment? It goes back to what we learned in Masechta Ksubis, Daf Samach Hei Amabeis, that according to Yehuda ben Beseira, there's a difference where she got wounded. If she got injured on a place in her body which is not visible, so then the halacha is the woman gets 2/3 of the payment and the husband gets 1/3 of the payment. If it was in a open place on the body, then the husband gets 2/3 and the wife gets 1/3. The priest explains that the way to make this assessment is, where did this accident take place? If the accident took place publicly or the accident took place privately, that will be a determining factor and who should get what. The Rambam says that the nezek and the tsar go completely to the wife, and that the husband has no share in the nezek and tsar. Regarding the payment of ripui and shebis, that there too there's a question who gets it. So some say that the Gemara didn't speak about ripui and shebis, and that's why the Gemara actually assumes that there is no payment for ripui and shebis. The Rav, however, says that certainly, just like in any situation where a person is injured, as we've been learning in HaMasechta, there is a payment to ripui and shevis. And the Ross says that the ripui goes to the woman, and the shevis, the unemployment, goes to the wife. The Miri says that the ripui goes to the husband as well. There are other Rishonim say that it depends. If the husband laid out money to pay the doctor, he's entitled to the ripui. Otherwise, there is no ripui payment, or even if there were ripui payment, but the woman took care of herself doing whatever she had to do, she would be entitled to the ripui payment. But ask the Gemara, based on what we've been learning in our Shia now, why don't we have Kasha of Shimon Gamliel out of Shimon Gamliel? We ought to have here a steering of Shimon Gamliel. In the first Brisa, we learned that Rav Shimon Gamliel says that the woman doesn't go up in value because she's pregnant. And therefore, that Brisa said, that Rav Shimon Gamliel said that the Mei Velodis is assessed at the children themselves. Now we're saying that the woman's value actually does go up. And since the woman's value goes up, the way we make the assessment is that the part of the payment that we're paying because the woman's value goes up is divided between the husband and the wife. And the other parts are given, the Mei Velodis are given to the husband. But clearly this price indicates that the woman's value does go up because she's pregnant. How do we reconcile these two prices that express Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion? Answers the Gemara Loi Kasha. The first time a woman has a child and she has no experience in having children, we don't know if this woman is a woman that's able to carry a child to term, and she may not survive childbirth. The second, but when a woman already had experience and had a successful childbirth, the assumption is that she could manage this, and therefore her value goes up when she's pregnant. Our Gemara just discussed the experience of childbirth. Particularly, the Gemara said that the first childbirth a woman has, it could be particularly dangerous, and we don't know what's going to be. And that's why many people suggest, the Divrei Yecheskel discusses this, and others discuss this, that that there's a minig that the first child that a couple have, the name is determined by the woman. And the question is, why is it the woman's choice? But since the woman having a child is, as we said, particularly the first child, a traumatic situation, and in those times, it's going to be a question of survival. So that's why the halacha is that the first child, the wife has a right to make that decision. In fact, I saw that there's a minig that the first year a couple is married, we know by the Seder, Yom Kippur, people wear a kittel. The husband, during the Shana Rishona, doesn't wear a kittel. Why? Because a wife is very possibly pregnant with her first child during the Shana Rishona, and she's in a delicate situation, as our Gemara says. And seeing her husband wearing a kittel, which represents where a person will no longer be alive, could frighten her. And because she's in this sensitive situation, we shouldn't do anything. The Cosmic Rebbe says this in the Shas HaTshuvas Divrei Yatziv. We shouldn't do anything to put her into more fear. Says the Gemara, Rabbanan da Amri, the Rabbanan who say that the entire Shvach Velodis are given to the husband, Nami Labal, are given to the husband, says the Gemara, Mai Tama, from where do they learn this halacha? Says the Gemara, Kedetanan, Mashma, Mishamas, Shenemar, V'yotz V'iladeh, Eni Yedeh Shihara. The Torah says that she was Hara, V'yotz V'iladeh. So the question is, why does the Torah have to indicate she was pregnant? If she miscarried, she was obviously pregnant. Only pregnant women can miscarry. Ma tam loyma v'nokfu isha hora. Why did the Torah have to say this? Loyma loch shvach hiroyin, to teach us this halacha, that the entire shvach hara goes to the husband. Ask the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel, who hasn't been learning this way, that certainly the value of the woman is divided between the husband and the wife. Hai hora my darish bay. What does he learn with the word hara? Says the Gemara Mibay Lechatanya, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Lo'ilam en Chayiv, at Shikona Kena Kenegebe Saroyin. He's only Chayiv if the injury was done next to the womb. Amra Papa, but Rav Papa explains this. And he says, Lo'i Teme Kenegebe Saroyin Mamish, it has to be exactly by the wound. El Kolhecha de Solok Be Shikma Levlad. Any place that the injury on the body is in a place that it could affect this fetus. Lafuki, so what was meant to teach us here? Lafuki comes to teach us the Yad V'Regel, if the woman got attacked on her hands or her feet, the loy, that won't affect the child. And therefore, if that's where the wound was done, they won't pay for the Demei Velodis. The simplest way of learning the Gemara is because it's only a Grumma B'Nazakin, a concept that we learn often in our Masechta, that one is not Chai by Grumma B'Nazakin. We learned in the Mishnah, Haisa Shifcha V'Nishtachra, she was a Shifcha Kananis who was freed, and she's pregnant from an Eved Kanani, a Giyaris Potter. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Loi Shana, this halacha, that there's no payment of Dmei V'Lodis, is Kishchava Ba B'Chaya Eger. When the attack took place while the ger was alive, and then Meis HaGer, he passed away. The Kivin D'Chava B'Bachaya Ger, since this attack took place while the ger was alive, so that's why Zochaba Ger, the ger became entitled to this money. The Kivin the Meis HaGer, now that the ger passed away, and as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, we are referring to a ger who has no relatives. Zocha b'min ager. The mazik, the halach is that if a ger dies without children, whoever is his, anybody who seizes his assets becomes the owner of those assets. Avol chavol l'acham isis ager. If the attack only took place after the ger died, so that halach will be, says the Gemara, zachle ibegavayu. She becomes the owner of the money, and therefore the perpetrator, mechayv l'shlum l'dada, will have to pay her. Amar of Chizdi Mari Dachi, says the Gemara, he said, the one that said this halacha, I have a question. Atav v'ladis tzrarin inu, are the v'ladis like a packet of money that we could say that the ownership transfers from the husband to the wife? Ella islabal, if the husband's still alive, Zachalei Rachmana, the Torah says, it goes to him. Leislabal, if the husband is not alive, loy, there's no Dmei Velodis at all. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, we learned in the Braisa, he could say, should somebody injured a woman, v'yotzi l'deh, which caused the miscarriage, noisin tzar l'isha, the payment for tzar is given to the isha, the Dmei Velodis labal, says the Braisa, ain't abal, if there is no husband, he's not alive, noisin l'yorshav, so the payment is given to his yorshim. Ain't a isha, if there's no wife, noisin liyarsha, we give it to her yarshim. Hoysa shivcha v'nishtachra, oy giyaris, zocha, the person who did this injury will take ownership. So we see that the Bryce is teaching us that if the ger dies, there is no obligation to pay the mevelodis. And he said, so this is difficult. Rabbi said that if the ger, father Ger, died before this episode, the money goes to the woman. Amri, says the Gemara, Umiya Difa Masnisen, why is this Braisa more troubling to you than what we learned in the Mishnah? That Kimna, and that I explained the Mishnah, that why will he be exempt? Because Kishchava Babachaya Ger, he did the injury while the Ger was alive, and then when it came to pay, Mesa Ger, the Ger was no longer alive. Hachanami, that's how I'm going to explain this braisa. The braisa is referring to a situation, k'shechava bo b'chaye ger, or mesa ger. V'boi seima, another way of explaining the braisa, lachamises a ger, that the wound, that the injury was done after the ger died, the tani, and what we should learn, zochsa, that the braisa is actually teaching us that she takes on the ownership of these, the May Velodis, if the husband is not alive. So suggest the Gemara, this machloikis of Rabba and Rav Chisda, what is the halacha when there is no father at the time of the episode, Lemka Tanoi is machloikis Tanoim. Because the Braisa teaches us, Bas Yisrael Shnesis Lager, a Jewish woman that's married to a Ger in the Sabra Menu, and she became pregnant from him, V'chava Ba B'chaya Ager, and somebody attacked her while the ger was alive. Nois the mevelodis leger. The mevelodis, as we learned, go to the husband, go to the ger. Lachem is a ger. But if this episode took place after she became pregnant from the ger, but then he passed away, and then this episode took place, tanichada chayiv. One braisa says that you have to pay the mevelodis. V'tanichada. And the other braisa says, Potter, that the perpetrator is Potter from the Vevelois. My laugh. So says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, isn't it way to learn that the machloikus of Rabbi Rachizda, Tanai Ninu, is actually machloikus Tanoim? And says the Gemara, Le Rabba, that Rava who says that if the husband died before the episode, that the Mevelodis go to the wife, there is no other way of explaining other than saying the Vade Tanaihi, we certainly have here Machlokes Tanaim. Eller of Chizda, Milem Tanaihi, Master of Chizda also agree that this Machlokes with Rabba that he has is a Machlokes Tanaim. This is more like Kasha. No, he doesn't have to say this. The Braisa is arguing the Machlokes between the Rabban and Rav Shimon Gamliel. the braisa that says that the husband, that the wife gets nothing, is because it's following the opinion of the Rabbanon that say that the husband gets everything. And in a case where there's no husband, so then there's no payment. Harav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel said that the wife does get a share of the shvach velados. And therefore, even if the husband died, the shvach velados still remain an obligation to her. And since that obligation remains, the fact that he's no longer here doesn't make a difference. So ask the Gemara, if that's the way you're going to explain the Braisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel, so my area, why are you saying lachamisa, that the wife's going to get her share after the husband died? According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, afil mechayim, even if the husband was alive, nami islay palga, she's entitled to half of the shvach melodis. Says the Gemara, mechayim, the way to understand is as follows. When we speak about the shvach melodis, as long as the husband is alive, she gets half, and the husband gets half. Mechayim is la palga. But if the husband is not alive, lachamisa, says Rav Chisda, then when we speak about the shvach velodas payment, kule, it goes completely to the wife. Vibay seima, another way of reconciling the two brises is hava Rav Shimon Gamliel. Both brises represent the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Kan, shvach velodas, the brise that says that the woman gets payment is speaking about the shvach velodas, and the halacha is that the woman always gets at least 50% of the shvach velodas, but if the husband's not alive, she'll get 100%. Kan b'dmei velodas, that the wife never gets any of it. Amri asked the Gemara, why does Rav Chisda say that the woman doesn't get d'mei velodas after her husband died? Mishvach velodas, lishma d'mei velodas. Just like she's entitled, if the husband died and he has no yorshim, she gets the entire shvach velodas. The halacha should be that d'mei velodas, that she didn't get any if the husband were alive, she should get if the husband unfortunately is not alive. And then the Gemara takes this a step further. Midr Shimon Gamliel, Lishma Rabbanan, that just like the Rabbanan hold, that if the ger is alive, the shvach velodas will go to the husband, but just like Rav Shimon Gamliel teaches us that 50% that she's entitled in the shvach velodas go to the husband, that's only if the husband was alive, but the husband's dead, she gets 100%, so too should the Rabbanan say, yes, the shvach velodas go to the husband, 100%. But maybe that's only if the husband is alive. If the husband's not alive, then the halacha will be that she should get the 100%. Amri loy. So says the Gemara, we can't compare these two things. Shvach velodas, the shaykh yodav gavayu. She very much has a connection to her value going up. That's how we've been explaining shvach velodas. Shvach velodas is that the woman is more valuable as pregnant. So that certainly something that she has a connection to. And therefore, if her husband, the ger, passed away, Zachiba Bakula, she will get the entire shvach velodas. However, certainly according to the Rabbanan, and actually Rav Shimon Gamliel, the mei velodas l'shach yod begavayu, the Torah didn't give her the right to get the payment for the mei velodas, and therefore, Zachiba Klal, she doesn't get any of it. Barmenei Rav Yebi Saba Rav Nachman, Hamachse b'shtaroishu shalgar, a Jew has a shtar that a ger has a mortgage on his property. Mahu, what will be the halacha if the ger passes away? Man the machzik b'shtar, the person who has holding on the shtar, adat daru machzik. What does that mean? That means that the person is the first person that we said earlier in our shir that when a ger dies without relatives, the first person who seizes the ger's assets will be the owner of those assets. So in this shtar, where a person obligated him, mortgaged his property to the ger, so is the person who's holding on to that document becomes the owner of that property, says, But what does it mean? He has to take ownership of the property. He only has the piece of paper. So that means he didn't take ownership of the property that belonged to the ger. The shtar namilakana, and the shtar, the lavadati, the shtar. The piece of paper for itself is meaningless. But what the Gemara means to say, therefore, if somebody else will come and seize that property first, he will be the owner of that property. He wanted to hold the shtar means something, and therefore, since the shtar has meaning, that means that he becomes the owner of that property, and anybody else seizing it will be seizing it too late. Omalei, so said to him, Rav Nachman asked Rav Yavisev, Onimari, answer me this question. He says, how could you think that holding on to the document means anything that holding on to the value, to what the property means? Is the document just there to be a bottle cover? Amalei, so Rav Seba said to Rav Nachman, that is indeed my question. Maybe lotzer or lotzer. Maybe it's meant as a bottle cover. So of course the Mefarshim explained that nobody is intending to hold it as a bottle cover. But what the Mefarshim explained, what he meant to say is that a person who's holding on to this document doesn't necessarily recognize what it means to hold on to the document that is owned, that the document that's owned by the ger. And maybe the document that's mortgaged to the ger. And he doesn't realize what this all means. And therefore, somebody else recognizes and realizes that the ger died, and if I seize his assets, I will become the owner of assets, he becomes the owner of the assets. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Mashkoinish Yisrael B'Yad Ger, a Jew borrowed money from a ger, and he gave him a mashkin, he gave him security. Omeis hager, and the ger died without relatives, and as we keep on learning in our shir, those assets become hefker, and whoever seizes them, owns them. And Bo Yisrael Ach V'Hichzik Ba, and another Jew came and seized those mashkoinis. The halacha is, we take them away from him. Why? My tama, the kivin the mesleger, once the ger died without relatives, pakle shibuda, he doesn't owe money to anybody. And therefore, what happens when somebody pays up? When I owe somebody money and I pay up, I get back my mashkin. The death of the ger represents as if he was paid up, and therefore the mashkin is returned to the loiva. But on the other hand, Mashkonis shel ger b'yad Yisrael, a ger had borrowed money from somebody, and he left a mashkin with that Yisrael, and now meis hager. And Bo Yisrael ach v'chzik ber, and another Jew came and seized that mashkin. Zek kana k'neged ma'isav, the person who's holding on to the mashkin has ownership in this mashkin to the equivalent value of what is owed to him, and the person who sees the mashkin, kana ashar. But ask the Gemara, v'mai, why do we say this? Why don't we say, tiknei chatzerei, that since this mashkin is in the property of this Yisrael, it should become his? Because haven't we learned, ask the Gemara, Dama Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina, chatzerei shuk adam kana loy shloy medate, that a person, even without being aware of it, if something is in his chatzer, becomes the owner, the property, his property. Amri, so they answered, Hachma Meskinen, the lesse, that this malva is not there. So, says the Markalech, the Isil of the day, if he's here, the boy Matsikani, that if he wanted to do a real Kenyan, he would be able to do so. So that's where there's Alocha, Kanyan Nami Chatzera. But however, Kalech, the lesse of the day, where the malva is not here, so if he wanted to do an actual Kenyan, he would not be able to do so. So therefore, Chatzera Namalei Kanya. Says the Gemara V'Hilchsa, the halacha is, the Leisei B'Chatzerai D'Loi Kana. That only if the Mashkin wasn't in the property of the Malva, he can't take ownership. But if the Mashkin was in his Chatzer, in his property at the time of the Ger's passing, even though he maybe couldn't have done the Kenyan, he isn't here. Kenyan Chatzar teaches us that he becomes the owner of those assets through a Kenyan Chatzar.